This is my husband. This is the guy. Like, if you're emailing right now, I'm guaranteeing you he's involved in it at some point. So, yeah. I got like a hair on my mouth. All right, can y'all hear me okay? Let's see if everybody can hear me. Everybody saying hello. Can y'all hear me okay, though? Okay, so here we are. It's Q&A day with me. This is how we're going to roll today. We are in Zoom for most of you. Some of you are going to be in Facebook, and my community team is over there. I am going to answer first some of the most common questions that we're getting. I'm going to knock all of those out, and then you guys can start sending over some questions. Kathy is in the Q&A, so she is going to be answering some of them. If she knows I'm already going to answer it or she's already heard me answer it, she will make sure that that gets done. And then Coach Maya is over in the chat in the Zoom room, so she'll be helping you guys there with anything that's going on. Over in the Facebook community, we have people answering questions over there. So if you are on Zoom and you do not like seeing the chat and it is distracting, your super secret tip, take a post-it note. All you got to do is hide the chat and then you put a post-it note over the little bubble that appears every time somebody says something, and you have taken care of all of your sensory needs. If you want to ask a question, please put it in the Q&A, but I would wait until I do a few of the questions because I may be answering your stuff, okay? And we are going to, this is going to do a little different today. So I want to help you guys really maximize using the Facebook group for the few days that we have left together. So if you don't know, the Facebook group is going to close on I believe we're archiving it Sunday, probably around, let's just say noon. We're just, everything's going to end around noon. I think we have two different times, but Kathy, we will archive that group. Actually, no, that's when the video replays come down. So when we close on Saturday night, the Facebook group will archive. So what does that mean to everyone? It means that the group will stay. It's going to basically be where you can't like, you can't comment, you can't respond and stuff to things, but you'll be able to see what happened in the Facebook group. And then about 30 days later, we're going to go through there and we're going to take everything down. So, you know, that's how we do Facebook groups. That keeps us from having to manage groups. And then if I'm in groups and 1,000 of them, then I never can find my groups and all that kind of stuff. So that helps us out. The replays are going to come down at noon on Sunday. So if you want to, I'm telling you, I got something all in my mouth. If you want to watch the replays, they are going to be up on pnp411.com/foodiseasy. /replays. So if you're going to want to watch these videos, make sure you get it done before noon on Sunday. Okay. Then if you are wanting to keep joining me, I will be live again tomorrow, which is Friday. Tomorrow is weigh-in day. So this is what we do inside our membership, is everybody weighs in on Fridays. We have a post in the Facebook group. You also have a place in your planner if you don't belong to the Facebook group. About 30% of our members don't belong to the Facebook group. So they use their planner and they do their worksheet. And then anybody that's in the Facebook group who wants to participate in our weigh-in thread, our weigh-in thread is where we do some of the mental work behind what's going on with your weigh-in. So people post their results, but they also post things they did or didn't do and what they're going to focus on the next week. The coaches come in, the community team comes in every week. We work that thread. If you're not a Facebook group user, you have the worksheet that you work through yourself. And if you ever have a question, you just use our Ask Coaches feature inside the membership. So tomorrow, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through with all of you guys through the challenge, the three questions you need to ask yourself every time you weigh in. And the answers to those questions will tell you, you know, I've been talking about your blueprint all week long, that your blueprint is, these are all the things that keep getting in my way of my weight loss. So if I overeat, it's because I'm telling myself these things, or it's because I believe these things. If I don't do a plan, I've told myself this, or I'm thinking these things about the plan. I would need to overcome these things in order to be someone who could follow any plan. I would need to overcome these things to be able to follow, you know, like to not overeat, no matter who I'm working with, whether it's with the podcast, if I join the membership, or I decide like Oprah, I'm all in on you too. So the blueprint is your stuff. that tells you, these are the things that I need to overcome. These are the things I actually need to be working on for any kind of a weight loss thing for me to ever work. So tomorrow, what we're going to do is we're going to unearth the things around the scale that you need to work on in order to actually be fueled for your weight loss journey. I know a lot of you are slaved in scale. A lot of you, sit there and it's like, hello, magic eight ball. Tell me how I'm supposed to feel about myself today. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow. And then on Saturday, this is so funny. At 4:30 in the morning, I'm in the free Facebook group. And I'm like answering questions and whatnot. And there was a thread of all the people who financially just can't afford to join. And a lot. It was a really awesome thread because there were so many people in there that just really, it helps me understand how important it is that we have a great podcast for you guys and a wonderful free course for you guys. Because some people who are never going to be able to afford it, you guys rely on it and you make the most out of it. And you don't use bullshit excuses. You make it happen. You don't get the conveniences and stuff of being a member, but you do trade in and just decide, I'm going to have willingness. I'm going to have to practice self-accountability. I'm going to have to practice these things in order to get the job done for me. So where I can't pay someone to help me with those things, I'm just going to need to do that myself. And so many of you are doing it. So on Saturday, what I want to do is I want to teach everybody the next steps. So we will have a part for the next steps for anybody who has joined, because with this challenge, a lot of my members are doing it also. So I want to give everybody, like, here's what we're doing next. Then there's another group. Some of you are just scared as fuck and don't know what to do. And you're allowing your fear to stop you and all this other bullshit. So I'm going to talk to you about how much longer in your life are you going to let your fears dictate what you do versus allowing yourself to start having the door open to courage. Sometimes we just have to be courageous in the face of our own fears. We can't sit around and like wait to feel good about shit. That's why most of us are overweight, because we're sitting around waiting to feel good in our life, waiting for people to change, waiting for the world to set itself up perfectly. Like, oh, I'll lose weight after COVID. Oh, whatever the next bullshit thing is that's what you keep waiting on because you're afraid you'll fail. There's no perfect time. There's no perfect circumstance. There's no perfect anything ever. It's the most defeating thought anybody would ever have. I mean, I want all of you to think about this. This time last year, everybody had bullshit excuses why they couldn't lose weight. And every single one of us would give our eye teeth to go back to last year being like, boy, it was a lot easier last year. You know, last year we didn't have COVID. Last year I wasn't homeschooling. Last year I wasn't doing all this stuff. The problem isn't the homeschooling. The problem isn't the COVID. The problem isn't that stuff. The problem always comes down to thinking that there's a time when it's going to be easier. So if I can just get to the easier time, then it'll be okay. It's like, no, there's just now and figuring out what you got to do now, period. If you can't lose weight when the shit hits the fan, then what are you doing? We're eating because the shit hits the fan. What better time to work on it? Don't get me on started. The third part will be for everybody literally who financially can't do it. I am going to give you the how. What do you need to do to go forward? Since you are not going to be able to join, I want to give you like, here's how I'd set myself up. Here's how I'd show up for free content. Here's how I know how to do this. I started my business over 12 years, I think it was 13 years ago now, sitting on a couch with a laptop from my old job that barely worked. I started figuring out, like, I thought, what's a website? I found a free one and started one so I could give out some advice to somebody. I was like, I just need to be able to write some shit and start a blog. Everything that I know about my business, I have learned at least 80% of it from sweat equity, not from courses and shit, from going online, listen to podcasts. I pieced my shit together. Do you know how I lost my weight? I pieced my shit together. There was no Corinne back then. There were no podcasts. There were no apps. I didn't even text back then. I had like a flip phone and just thought, texting is ridiculous. Who would ever do this shit? I remember the first first text I sent. And I giggled. I was like, here I am being a kid. So I know it can be done. But I also know that the people who are going to do it on their own, I'm going to give you some structure. And you're going to know how. And if you're still not doing it, I invite you to come back in 6 months. You listen to my shit for 6 months. And if you're not doing it, then that means that you're the kind of person who struggles on your own. You don't have long-term commitment yet. You don't have self-accountability yet. You don't have that I can override not wanting to do it anyway. Those are the things. Like, so if you're not going to join the membership, you're going to be paying for your weight loss in a different way. You're going to be paying it with your own feelings and like pulling yourself up by the bootstraps and doing it when you're scared and when you're doubtful and all that stuff. I get it. There's not been anything I've done in my life. I have no reason to be who I am. None. I am a kid that was bullied and overweight since the age of 9, who tried to kill herself at the age of 17, married a douchebag and eloped and was divorced by the age of 20. Spent my 20s drinking and trying to figure out just how to get people to like me despite my weight. Finally met my husband, never had success with weight loss, had a kid, didn't know what the fuck to do, went through postpartum. Then he had autism. I got every excuse in the fucking book to not be someone who lost weight, started a business, and leads women to a better life. I just don't use my excuses anymore. It was the fundamental thing that I figured out in weight loss, that I had to quit blaming my life, blaming my past, blaming other people, blaming what I couldn't do. All that bullshit had to do a dead stop, and I had to just figure out, hussy, get it together. If we're changing our life, we got to do it ourselves. I'm going to figure this out. I've been telling y'all since the first fucking free video I ever did. Still remember doing it in my kitchen and crying. I was holding my phone. It was the first free video I ever sent out to people. And the one thing that I remember most when I got started was telling myself, I'm going to figure this out. I've used it with everything. I didn't have to believe that I'd lose 100 pounds. I didn't have to like go to the promised land. I just had to believe I'm going to figure this out. Instead of telling myself, I wonder if I'm going to fail again. Instead of saying, like what I always said was like, well, I've never been able to lose weight before. I guess I'll try again. I've had to level up the conversation I had with myself each day. And it took literally telling myself I'm going to figure it out. So all of you, whether you join or not, the one thing that I watch in the Facebook group the most when you guys are talking, whether you're a member or you're in the free group, it's very much similar. You have to be paying attention to how you talk to yourself. That is what matters most. You will never, at the end of the day, Cheetos and Rocky Road will always be what you want if you spend the entire day slowly and letting the oxygen out of your own body. It's like a balloon. If you start all the every day, all right, I think I'm ready, but all you've got all day long is just little bitty digs at yourself. I was coaching one of my clients yesterday. And she's like, you know, I just don't think I have a lot of negative self-talk. And I said, well, tell me the things you do tell yourself. And she's like, well, I think about my to-do list. I think about what I need to do. Like when I finish something, I go on to the next. And I said, so you may not be sitting around punching yourself in the face over and over again. I said, but how, like, her big thing was, she, like, this is big for all of you. I'm just going to just teach you guys this, and we'll get to Q&A. Because I think everybody struggles with this. The end of the day, she's like, I do so good and I've lost all my weight, but I feel like I'm going to gain it back because I'm catching myself now eating at the end of the day and telling myself, I deserve it. And I know when somebody tells me that, it's because they're not talking very deservingly to themselves all day. And she's like, well, I don't beat myself up. And I said, yeah, but why are you not talking like you're extraordinary to yourself all day? What stops you from that? And it just hit her like a ton of bricks. She was like, what? I said, yeah. I said, no wonder you feel like you need food as a reward at night, because there was no reward all day long in your own head about what you were doing. You're just getting your shit done and moving on to the next thing and not even taking a breath to tell yourself, good job. I'm so proud of you. Look at me. I finished my entire list today. Whatever it takes. But this, like, if you beat yourself up all day long, or if you just always are thinking about the next thing to accomplish, hoping that one, that some point you'll do enough stuff to get some relief. No. Deserving is a feeling that comes from how you think about yourself. And at the end of the day, if you need food to feel deserving, it's because you're not doing the job and you don't know how. No diet will teach you that. There's not enough points to cover those bases. You can count all the macros you want, but they're not going to make you feel deserving until you learn how to start thinking in a new way. And when you start thinking in the new way, I promise you, the weight comes off physically and mentally. All right, so let's do some questions. All right, number one. This came from Melanie Guerrero. This was a good question. So we pulled questions out of the Facebook group first, because we were like, let's get a snippet of the most popular questions that are getting asked, and then we're going to answer them today. And here's how I'm going to do this. I want to give you not only the name of the person who asked, when this video is over, inside the Facebook group, I'm going to go in and edit, and I'm going to link you to every one of these discussions. So if you want to go read the discussions, see how we responded, see all the good advice that they got, you can go do all of that. I do this because for all of you who are wondering, like, how do y'all treat your members? Just like the experience you're getting this week. Like, people are asking, like, do you guys help out in the Facebook group? I'm like, fuck yeah, of course we do. So I want you to see the power of community and how it runs. Now, if you're not in Facebook, that's not a big deal. I'm going to talk about all this stuff here. But for all of you who do want to use community, I want to make sure that you have a way to get the most traction out of the Facebook group for the remaining time that we have. Okay, here we go. How do I just sit and relax without food? It's an urges question. So she has set up an after-dinner routine to watch TV and eat with her little one. So Melanie, I want to applaud you for having some kind of a routine. Now what we want to do is we want to learn how to relax without the food, correct? So a lot of people responded by giving her all kinds of advice, but Kristen Freeman, you are the winner of best comment ever. All right, so for this one, she says, you need to address the real problem. Evening is the only time you are relaxing and winding down, which means that all day long, y'all don't confuse this. To relax and be unwound during the day doesn't mean you need to be like on a pillow sitting there and meditating. It means you need to have more relaxing thoughts about your life and yourself. So that means we have to find some of this bullshit. So at the end of the day, you're not like, oh, now I get to relax. You have to, like, in order to not crave to eat at night, we have to back it up and figure out what's driving these cravings to begin with. Oh, if you're seeking to relax, it must mean I'm not that way during the day. If relaxed is a feeling, which it is, all feelings are driven by how you're thinking through the day. It's the little digs, the little things, the little pressures, the little things you tell yourself about your life that set you up to need to unwind at night, hardcore. All right. So what are you doing during the day that by the time evening comes, you think that it is the only and first time you've gotten a chance to relax? I'd focus on scheduling some mental, emotional breaks during the day. That could be 1 minute of deep breathing, maybe a minute of positive thoughts, identifying which ones that you're currently thinking about, like, all right, I need to level this thought up. She says, this is a habit, so this will be difficult to change. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. It takes time. I always say, like, y'all don't need any more perfectionism in dieting. You know what you need? Patience. Patience is the skill of weight loss, not perfection, not 100%, not doing it right all the time. It's about the patience for processes to work, for your habits to shift, for your mind to change, for your state to become something different. You'll need to work on that in the evening. Well, of course I want popcorn, and this is just a habit that I'm working on changing. So it's like being in that moment of when you absolutely want Cheetos, popcorn, Oreos, Rocky Road ice cream, cupcakes, leftover mac and cheese, whatever your deal is, whatever it is you're going to want, it's the skill of learning to tell yourself, it's natural to want it. I'm unlearning the desire. Like, that's what a lot of you, this is what I watch you do with urges. It's like, oh my God, I wish I didn't want this. And, you know, I'm never going to lose weight if I keep thinking this way. If I keep having this urge, when is this going to stop? That's an argument. And arguments always feel like ass. There's no winners. Remember, in arguments, we don't have winners. We just have somebody who finally just is like, fuck it, and gives up. We don't need any more fucking give up moments. But you do have to learn the skill of how to sit and talk to yourself when you want these things while you're also having the patience to figure out how the fuck you jack your shit up all day long. Don't be blaming COVID, teachers. Don't do it. My mamas, it ain't your kids' fault. My single ladies, it ain't because you're sitting around. No man, no woman, whatever. It is always because judgment thoughts about me. I'm a bad mom. I'm never going to get this. I bet I don't do this right. Hope this works out. That's a bunch of bullshit thinking that feels so shitty. And then by the nighttime, you need to unwind. So we are going to link that whole post with all the comments. There were tons of comments and really good ones. We will link that into the recording of this call. Let's see. Question number two. It's hard to spend money on another diet. How can I justify the attempt, the expense, after I failed so many times? This is always a question that people want to know. This is a self-worth question. How dare I spend money on myself? How dare I do it one more time? A couple of things that are happening here. One, this is you need to learn the skill of your worthiness. Because a lot of times when we have self-worth issues, we immediately go to, I'm not worth the money. I'm not worth the time. I'm not worth bothering them. That's usually what's happening. So when you say I don't know if I should do this, or I don't know, whatever, a lot of times it's because it really begins with what I call a parentheses thought. Somewhere deep down, there's a, I'm not worth it. Okay. So in this one, the things that I wanted to tell you were, first and foremost, joining the No BS program is not spending money on another diet. Please do not talk about my weight loss program like that. Not a single one of you. We are changing lives. We work on your brain just as much as we work on your hand to your mouth. One of the things that I like to think about is with my program is that it's investing in changing your life versus sitting around and spending money on something and not getting much out of it. The way that I like to think about it is it's a program that's built to address all the things that keep holding you back in your life. Because we eat typically over not addressing the things that we're allowing ourselves to be held back in our lives. So I always think about No BS as investing in your lifestyle changes that you know that you're going to be able to do for the long term. So the other way that this got addressed, and I just want to say that Mickey Jackson, I loved your post. And I would like to share it with everyone. And we are going to be sending this one out to all of you also. She said, well, I just justified it in my head. So rather than sitting around thinking about, like, I'm going to be wasting money on myself, she decided I'm going to do some math. I just want to see, like, what is the math of it? And so this is what she said. This is no BS for 1 year. 289 plus 59 times 11. So if you spend a year in there, it would cost you $938. Per month, that equals $78.16. Per week, that equals $19.54. I order food delivery a few times a week. One delivery is more than $20, just one of them. Now, if I can't spend that on working on my mind instead of spending it on something that I'll be in the sewer in a few hours over, I need to slap myself. So there you have it. Stuff just has to make sense to me, and now it does. So let me go run and join. And then she did. So we're going to link all of you to her post because it was really cool. Because another person, Christy Worth, also said, I know I throw away $20 a week on the note on bullshit stuff, not on me. She said, why not becoming a no BS woman? So Christy, the only thing I want to do is I want you to shift that from I've been throwing away $20 a week, and now I want you to think I'm now investing $20 a week on Christy. All of you, whether you are going to invest money or you are going to invest your time, whatever you're investing when it comes to your weight loss journey, I want you to call it I'm investing. You're not spending time. You're not spending money. You're investing. I want everybody to even just think about it. When you think about investing in yourself, it already sounds a little lush. It sounds better than like, well, I'm going to spend some money on myself. You know, like most women, we've been brought up to feel guilty as fuck for spending some money on ourselves. Well, if you keep referring to it as spending money on you, guess what? You're setting yourself up to start feeling gross from the get-go. Don't do that to yourself and don't be doing that to my program. It is an investment. It's an investment in your future. It's an investment in your mind. It's an investment in your health. It's an investment on changing your life. Guys, I'm going to tell you 1,000 times over, you got to start leveling up how you think. You got to listen to the bullshit of which you speak. And that you internalize. And Aubrey Trenier Laura, her response was, I spent $45 on coffee 2 weeks ago. I was having a shitty week. Hit up Starbucks and all the other local places daily, plus some pastries. So everybody, one of the things that I suggest you guys do, we had a few openings ago, we had someone who ended up joining, and she's like a huge member of ours now. But she added up all the money she was now saving in medicines that she was off of. And it was a significant thing. My mom, who, like, she works for me, but she just listens to shit I say, basically. I don't talk to her about her weight loss. My mom's like me. She's always struggled with her weight. She was like 300 pounds when she started working for me. And so anyway, here comes my mama. She's like, I just want to help you out. If y'all ever email support, if you ever hear from Anna, that's my mother, just so you know. So if you're going to like throw me under the bus for my foul ass mouth, just know you're bitching to my own mother. And my mother, she gives me a good run for my money on the cuss words. There you go. So anyway, she just started listening to my course and like some of my lives and all this other shit. She's lost almost 100 pounds, y'all. And she texted me the other day and was like, I just didn't know it was going to be this easy. She said, I don't even do all your journaling. She was like, I don't even do all your journaling shit. I'm going to start that. But she lost the first 100. She's got 50 more to go. Not even doing that part. Just listening and thinking and paying attention to the basics. And so I said, well, that's good. And she said, I came off this medicine and this medicine and this medicine. And my mother's real cheap and she's a thrift shopper and all that kind of stuff. She's like, I'm just saving money. So anyway, there you go. All right. So we will connect you all to that. Shemaine Renee Horton, She said, I'm frustrated with making 24-hour plans. I keep having to switch them or add more food. Is that okay? And Emily Hetland responded with, it's a learning curve for sure. And I'm sure there's days even the coaches and Corinne still have to adjust and tweak their plans. There are. Life is not perfect. What do I keep telling you guys? This is not the pursuit to perfection. This is the patience to learn what's going to work on your plan. Eventually, you do it long enough, you figure out most often what works for you. You get real into routines. Your brain starts loving it. You have to have the patience to get to that part. It does happen. And so I think the trap people fall in at first is making the plan they think they should be following. Yes, ma'am. Remember the other day when I taught you, whatever you're putting on your plan, before you eat it, I want you to just notice why it's on your plan to begin with. Is it on the plan because you can't wait to eat it? Or is it on your plan because I can't really eat these other things and this is what I have to eat? That's a sure sign that you're still caught up in your head trying to create plans from if I eat these perfect foods, then I'm going to one day feel so much better about myself. You're caught up in this weird world that backfires. I want you committed to putting foods on your plan that you're going to look forward to, that you can enjoy, and that over time, once you get to where you eat your foods that you love over and over and over again, most of you will find you actually can lose some fucking weight eating them. They're not near as bad as you think they are. When you're not eating your face off with them, you're only having them when you're hungry. You know you get to have them whenever you want, and you start building the skill like, well, if I get it whenever I want, now I don't feel like I need to go eat it as if I'm in jail and someone's going to steal it from me. The relationship with those foods change. If your relationship with them now is based in fear and I'm afraid, so I take them all away from myself until I just feel really bad and then I eat them and then I have no skill to stop. I'm suddenly euphoric eating it. I feel like I have no control, but what's really happening is your brain's like, you know we're going to take these away again. So now you need to eat all of it. And then we can go to the punishing part again. You set yourself up, that becomes a habit, and you just do it over and over again. And guess what? Overeating it and taking it away starts to feel comfortable. You may not like it, but it becomes comfortable enough that you do it over and over again quite easily. And that's a habit and a mental and emotional skill set we have to break. So she says, I always overestimate my day with healthy snacks that I know I actually like and will eat. I don't always need them. I don't always eat them. Some days I'm hungrier than others and I might need to eat them. She said, that's my take. I think you're doing it beautifully, Emily. Very proud of you. We'll link you to that post too because there were other really good suggestions. This was one of my favorite posts that I saw after our Finding Our Why segment. The question that everybody keeps asking is, I'm having a hard time finding my why. Is that normal? Do you have suggestions? We had a post from Heidi Cockrell where she posted all of her whys on a mirror, and then a lot of people came in and talked about their whys. So let me read you some. One of the reasons why is, we don't have the whys on here. So we'll link you to that. But what she did was once she did her whys, she went through and she did a checklist of things that she ended up doing for the day because of her whys. So it is hard sometimes to find the whys. And this is what I love. This is a skill that I have. I actually went in earlier to another group that I belong to and asked them about another problem I'm trying to solve just in my business. And it's called crowdsourcing. Crowdsourcing is where you go to a crowd of people working on the same thing as you, some of them being ahead of you in the game, and then you ask the question for ideas. That is one of the benefits of having a private community. One of the things that we've got is a strong Facebook community. We have all kinds of subgroups, so if you need to crowdsource ideas for your particular situations, like if you have more than 100 pounds to lose, if you have kids with unique needs, you know, whatever it is, We have all of those groups plus the main group. You guys are getting a taste of what it's like to be in a main group where you can go and get ideas, motivation, and support at any time. You'll also notice there's no bullshit drama that goes on. I want you to just think for a hot second. When is the last time you were able to go to a Facebook group of over 10,000 women who are trying to lose weight, probably a little hungrier than usual because they haven't been being hungry, changing their lives, nervous as shit, wondering what if this is even going to work, and it didn't break out into fire and brimstone, cats and dogs living together? It is because I don't tolerate shit in my groups. You act like a douchebag, you're out. End of story. It rarely happens because I set such a strong tone. I have small, simple, doable rules we all live by, and that is how we roll. What happens in our group stays in our group. And we are so right now making sure that all of our women, no matter what, we're trying so hard to make all of you feel safe. We're just living in a time right now where I think people, when it comes to social, just are fucking fed up. You can't even post a picture without people having a shit-wide opinion about it these days. That does not go down in my group. If you are someone who's going to come in and take a collective dump on my people, on a bad day, don't even click join. Now, you can have your own bad day and you can come in, you can talk about the things that are bothering you. You can get advice and support and stuff, but we don't throw shade. We don't talk like assholes and we're not dicks. That's not what we do in there. So I just want to say that because it's hard these days, I think, for a lot of us to feel like there's a place for us. And I'm working so hard on making sure that all of my women don't have to deal with the bullshit that's going on in the world where you can't even see a body that doesn't look perfect anymore. We celebrate all the bodies. I don't need you, like, I understand not every ethnicity, not every woman wants to be, you know, pale, white ass thin. And I think that's amazing. And we celebrate all of it. My job is for you to feel amazing in the way that you define that. All right, that's all I want to say about that. Okay, so why sticky note post? I loved it. How do I motivate myself to doing another diet? No, y'all, I get it. So Anne Marie talks about her journey with Weight Watchers and how it never worked for her. She said, I used to beat myself up. I kept assuming I was the failure and comparing myself to all these people who were so successful. And she was like, no fucking wonder it didn't work. I was beating myself up the entire time. So this goes to show, you can follow any plan, but if you don't learn the skill of how not to beat the shit out of yourself over it, guess what? It's not always the plan's fault that doesn't work. It's that they didn't teach you what you were going to need to be able to think and believe and feel while you're doing it. They only tell you you do a good job if you lose weight. If you don't lose weight, well, you must have done something wrong. That doesn't always mean you did wrong. You know what it means? We just need to look at what you're doing. Maybe we need more patience. I can't tell, like, one of the things that pisses me off about Weight Watchers, now, guys, I've done it in years. I can't speak to what they do now. But we did a big talk recently inside our membership. I think I may even put it in the podcast, where weight loss is not, like, just linear. Like, it's just like, each week, if you do the right things, you should lose weight. That's just not how it works. Your body, Kathy, let me know, or somebody in the chat, let me know where I talked about the whoosh effect. Did we talk about this in membership or did we talk about this in the podcast? If we talk about it in the podcast, I will make sure to post this inside the Facebook group. But basically, your body just doesn't work like that. Your body has basically fat cells all over it, right? And as you lose weight, the fat cells, they're like, think about a little water balloon. And then, all right, so it's in the podcast. So I won't go too far into this. What we'll do is we'll link it in there. But basically, as these little water balloons lose their water, your body hangs on to the balloon, the deflated balloon, for a while. Once the fat comes out, and it sometimes fills it with water to hold its place, because it's like, well, now I don't know. Let's see how long this lasts. Or I just want to make sure she's not in some kind of weird famine and I don't know about it. Like, so your body hangs on to them. And a lot of times for 2 to 3 weeks, your body is filling those little balloons with water as a placeholder. And then when it realizes, like, well, fuck, we don't need all this anymore. Let's let go of some water and let's let go of some balloons. Sends it on out the door. So a lot of you will notice, like, it takes 2 to 3 weeks of doing the stuff. Again, do you need perfection or you need fucking patience? You gotta have patience, because you could be doing amazing things and then on your weekly weigh-in, it doesn't show on the scale. So rather than throwing yourself under the bus, what do? You go back and you look and you think, I am doing the right things. It's just not happening yet. If you don't have that conversation, we'll talk more about that tomorrow. If you don't have that conversation, you eat your face off. And your body's like, oh, let me get rid of the water, because now we can put more fat in there. This is why, like, we've got to, like, reinvent how we talk about weight loss. Weight loss is not a matter of you were either good or you've been bad. Which one is it this week? You're never good or bad. You're either doing or you're not doing some stuff. So, like, let's double down on what you're doing. Let's figure out what you're not doing, figure out why, and get going on that. This is not a morality issue. This is not a shame issue. This is not a, you know, you lack somehow as a human being issue. This is a doing or not doing. Let's figure it out. I'm behind and I don't know what to do. So Sandy Becker says, I am a couple of days behind on watching the videos. This morning I was finishing up watching Corinne and was talking about all the work it takes to change the way you think. I got an overwhelming feeling, which is very normal. My thoughts were, I cannot do this. This is where I'm at this morning. I feel like there's no hope. It feels like it's too much. I'm teaching kids in a new way. I'm so busy. How am I going to have time to learn and think differently too? Take a deep breath, number one. That's always, whenever you feel overwhelmed, everybody, always take a deep breath and remember the only reason why you're overwhelmed is because you're thinking about all the things you need to do. And it's like, all right, I need to get focused on what is the next thing that I can do that's the easiest to get started. One of the things about overwhelm is it goes away once you take action to do something, because overwhelm and action, they can't exist together, because in order to take action, you have to change from overwhelm to willingness. Think about it. It's the antidote to the overwhelm. So it's changing that little bitty thought right there. So Joan Olson actually gave a huge, really good response. It seems to me that take one step, one thought, and 1 hour at a time. It's all we really can do. Think about only today. When you feel overwhelmed, stop and remember you are worthy. It's okay to not hit the mark all the time. And I think that this is really important, because a lot of you, you know, have this idea you're going to do things perfectly. And if you're not doing things perfectly, it really rocks your world. And nobody is going to make perfect decisions all the time. No one is going to make perfect plans and do things perfectly. We don't need the perfect, but we do need that patience with ourselves to be like, of course I'm overwhelmed right now. I'm thinking about a lot of things. Of course I would feel overwhelmed right now. I feel like there's a lot going on in my life. But what is in my control right now? What's one thing that I can do? It's like, if I only could do one thing right now, what's the easiest one I would do? Those are some of my favorite techniques when I feel overwhelmed, when I'm stressed out, when I'm like crying to Chris or calling Kathy, like I love nothing better. So Kathy, if y'all don't know, not only is the podcast host, she's our head coach, but she's also what we call my left hand. So my assistant, she's my right hand and Kathy gets the left. So I need two people to help me stay together. But I always love it on those days when I feel like shit. I call Kathy and I just take a collective dump on her day. I whine, tell her why I'm so stressed out. She tries to tell me things aren't so bad. I'm like, no, you just don't understand. Let me tell you, let me say it one more time. You obviously didn't hear me. I am just like you guys. When things like feel like there's a lot, sometimes what we need to do is we need to have the tantrum. We need to write it all down. We need to like see this is what we're thinking. Sometimes I get so much relief from just going like, I just know it's because I'm thinking about all these things and I write them all down. Or I tell Kathy, and then I take a breath and I'm like, all right, what's one thing I can get done? Like, what's one thing that's in my control? Just doing that, there is a pause in the overwhelm, and there's a sense of just a little bit of relief. It's the relief from all the overwhelm. Doesn't mean you feel amazing. Doesn't mean you're ready to go and you're highly motivated and excited. You don't need to get there. But if we can get relief, sometimes that's the best thing to get. All right, one more question, and then I'll answer some of the live questions. Kathy is, just keep on rolling through them, Kathy. What's some examples of better foods? This was a really popular question from the Good, Better, Best stuff. So I hope you noticed that today I've tried to cover several of the different topics that we coached you guys on all week long that I was teaching, so that you have a little bit of extra like learning going on. So for me personally, she says, I just don't eat foods that would help me lose weight yet not provide provide nutritional value for my body. So she said, I think my better category should be the foods that provide nutritional value but don't help me necessarily lose weight, which that's the good category, are the ones that taste good but they don't help you lose weight. Better is they taste good and they would help you lose weight. She wants to switch hers to they have nutritional value, but they wouldn't help me lose weight. This is where I just kind of want to just kind of debate a little bit on your food choices. I think if you want to do it that way, Brianna, it's fine, except you listed things like corn. Corn has nutritional value and would help you lose weight. Nobody is sitting around with a corn problem. How many of you are binging on corn every night? Like, you know what I do, Corinne? I make at least 12 ears of corn and I just sit down in front of the TV and I eat that corn like I'm a typewriter. It's not the corn. Same thing with cheese. I'm going to tell you guys right now, quit villainizing cheese. Unless you got a dairy allergy or something, maybe you do. Maybe you're putting down stuff you have allergies to, but like, I'm not overweight because I just sat down with a block of cheese every night. It has nutritional value. Learn to eat cheese and you'll actually be able to lose weight. Same thing with nuts. Like, I just have this sense that I just don't eat. Let's see. She said these foods don't help me lose weight. I want to know why they're not helping you lose weight. Like corn, nuts, and cheese. Those are foods that most people can eat just fine and lose weight unless you have an allergy to them. Then, yeah, you would break out and all the bad things would happen. The only one you put on there is wine. Now, wine to me goes in the good category. Wine's only job is to taste good. There is debate that it has some nutritional value, but I'm just going to tell you, you also can get that shit out of some grapes. I always put wine in the good category just because wine is easy to overindulge. It's also going to, you know, lower your inhibitions. It's got like side effects to it. So that's why I always put it in the good category. Because I don't want to be like thinking that, you know, I'm going to be losing all kinds of weight while I'm drinking wine. It's not a helpful thought. Now, I want you guys to think like I could drink wine and lose weight, but you don't want to think like, oh, this is one of the foods that I can lose weight on. There's a difference between the two. We always want to think about when it comes to like wine and things like that. It's like, I totally want to include them and they're going to have an amazing place in everything that I do. And I'm going to learn how to have them in a way that I can lose weight. But, you know, I'm not going to shit any of you. You know, I do say plan anything you want, but if you want to sit down with a box of wine every night, probably not going to lose weight. Same thing, like we can have cupcakes, but if you're going to eat five every night, I don't care if you do write them down on the plan, five cupcakes every night ain't going to do it. We still have to pay attention to the big rule, which is, am I hungry? Have I had enough? And when it comes to booze in its own category, I like to kind of put it off to the side because you're not going to get signals of like satisfied that you've had enough as it, like you would with food, right? So with wine, this is how I, like all booze, this is how I do it just a little bit different. I encourage you to start planning where you're at and paying really close attention to making sure that you're not doing booze eating afterward, like all that kind of stuff. I have a personal rule. When I drink, there's no eating after. I set that boundary up for myself so it makes it easier for my drunk ass brain to not be like, is tonight a night I can have something? I just train myself to be like, you know, once you start drinking, because I don't drink until after I've ate. It's like, you know, once you start drinking, we're done eating. It just makes it really clear for me because I've got booze goggles on when I'm drinking. And I do everything I can to set myself up for success. The other thing is, so you start planning where you're at with liquor. And then you start noticing if, like, if you say you're drinking four and it's really hard for you not to eat afterward, you may want to start planning three to see if you raise your level of awareness to be able to stay out of overeating after. You play with it until you get to where you're drinking at a level you're comfortable with, but you're also very comfortable with how you feel the next day, your behaviors while you're drinking and after, and all that kind of stuff. So I always think drinking is a little different, but I lost weight drinking. I'm going to keep weight off drinking. I am somebody who likes to do the wine. All right. Let's see if there's anything else over here. Kathy, are you answering questions? Should I start at the top or the bottom? Are processed foods like soy chips and bean tortilla chips good or better foods? They do have nutritional value, but they also taste really good. If they have nutritional value, they can help you lose. If they can help you lose weight, I would say that those always for me would go into the better category. Now, you were just eating some Lay's potato chips that were like flavored like I don't know, what do they got all them like flavored ones now? Where like candy corn potato chips? That would be a good. But I mean, I think when you talk about like for me, I eat pop chips. I used to eat soy chips all the time. By the way, I didn't even know they still made them. I was a big fan of the soy chips back in the day, but I never could find them. But it's, not the way to lose weight eating nuts, at least for me in the past. One portion doesn't feel like enough. Charlotte, that doesn't mean that you can't lose weight eating them. It means that one portion doesn't feel like enough for you. You need to work on it not feeling like enough when you know it is. Like when you eat something like nuts, guys, when you eat something high in fat, it is a delayed response until you have had enough. You can eat a bunch of it before you actually feel it. Like if you eat a can of nuts, it's going to feel like, oh yeah, I could eat some more. I could eat some more. But if you know that what I would do, Charlotte, is I would start with a portion of nuts and I would tell myself I can't have more nuts until 30 minutes later. And let's see what happens there. I'm struggling planning foods I love, but are not foods that help with weight loss, good foods. As a result, I overeat when I do eat. I'm struggling with the deep dive to understand why I do this. All right, let's start over. I'm struggling planning foods I love, but are not, I think I already covered this, but are not foods that help me lose weight, the good foods. Yeah, I covered that earlier when I was talking about the good, better, best and talked about the restriction and coming back. That's why that keeps happening. You have to, basically, guys, you got to build a relationship with those foods. What you guys do is you take them away and then wonder why you want them so bad when they come back. I want you to get used to eating them very deliberately and on purpose and calming your nervous system down that they're not bad foods, that you're not out of control. Like we got to control the narrative around them and teach you how to have control again. Kathy, can you go through here and like clear out some of these? Some of these I've already talked about. Corinne, talk about active versus passive participation. I love to listen to the podcast and take notes, but I've had trouble with implementation. I've been doing the challenge daily and I can see it does feel different for me. So active participation looks like this. I take notes. I pick one thing. I put it on my plan for the day. I set my alarm for when I'm going to do it. And when my alarm goes off, I actually do that thing. Passive is like, ooh, preach. That sounds good. Like thinking about doing things, listening to a lot of stuff, enjoying the podcast immensely. That's passive participation. Active participation would be like, okay, I'm not going to feel like doing the worksheet. So I need to plan to do the worksheet during a time it would be easy for me to get it done. Going through some major stress in life with my sister being sick. Focusing on self-care is important, but extremely difficult as I feel like I'm being selfish. I know I shouldn't, but I do. Are there topics or podcasts in the membership that address these? Yes. I am joined up, but thinking I may need to shut this stuff sooner than later. Melanie, the entire No BS course, we are talking about changing how you think about yourself. And like when you get to module 2, it will start addressing a lot of the ways that we think about ourselves. I just want you to get through No BS first because that will give lay the groundwork for like, oh, I think these things rather than, ooh, I think these things and feel so bad and like you just fall into it. You're going to get better at noticing the thoughts that cause you a lot of emotional pain, but not attaching to the pain. In module 2, there's also a really good feelings exercise where I guide you through experiencing some of the feelings that you're feeling. So we talk about that a lot. I've noticed this week eating when I'm hungry, I might not eat my first meal until 3:30 in the afternoon. Then I get hungry again at 8 or 9. Is there a too late time to eat a meal? Nope. I've heard not to eat after 6. You know how people say not to eat after 6? This is the most bullshit rule I've ever heard. But this was created by the diet entry. It's created by people who bastardized intuitive eating, which I do intuitive eating, but like, I do like the real version of intuitive eating. All right. It's like got all the things in there, like actually listening to your fucking body and stuff, not just pretending like you do. So the short of it is the reason why the 6 o'clock rule was created was to try to convince people to not eat anymore after 6 because they noticed women mainly overeat at 8 o'clock at night. So let's make a rule to stop at 6 and let's just tell them they get real fat if they eat after 6. It is so bullshit. Your body isn't going to do anything different if you're actually hungry. Way chemistry works is if you're actually hungry, your body needs food. It will work better when you're responding to its natural needs than when you are sitting around acting like, oh, I'm going to break out in fat if I eat after 6. Now, you eat dinner at 6 and at 8 o'clock, you're eating like hodgepodge of bullshit? Yeah. But like when I say like, let's close the kitchen, like if I say, tell you what, we're going to close the kitchen at 7 o'clock. That means I want all of you to eat a very nutritious meal so that if you notice the pattern of after 7 o'clock that you graze and eat because you are so sick and tired of your life, or you're like, ooh, I deserve a treat. I need a treat. You know, I showed up for my life today. I actually taught math to my kids. I didn't kill anybody today. Yeah, closing your kitchen, what it does is it gives you an automatic like, oh, I'm just wanting to eat. I should listen to the conversation and go to fucking work on why I'm wanting to eat when I'm actually not hungry. But if you're like eating at 3:30 and it's 8 o'clock and you're hungry, guess what? Eat. Ain't none of it, like, I promise all of you, you're not overweight because you're so in tune with your body, listening and honoring it so much and only eating when you're hungry. Think about it. How many times are you eating? By habit, by clock, by shame, by worry, by tired, by lonely, by all these other bullshit things. That's what we have to fix. No more crazy rules, y'all. So many rules that you're trying to live by. were created literally by the diet industry to figure out a way, like, oh, well, that's a problem. So rather than teaching them how to change their life, let's just create another fucking rule so that we don't really have to work with women and while they're actually eating. Let's not help them feel better about themselves. Let's give them rules so that when they lose weight, we can glorify a thin body. That is like the world we live in right now. It's like, we're better than that. And we got to start changing it. Like, more of us have to start changing. That means we have to start changing. We have to start modeling shit. Like, when all of our girlfriends are on the keto and we're sitting over here being the one, a mental ninja doing the work, we have to be the one that stays strong and does it anyway. And let them burn out and then come to you and be like, fuck me, we all started, like, you know, when we were going to get our COVID-19 off with our, like, whole 30 reset, whatever they're doing out there. And then when December comes and your ass has lost 15 pounds, feeling better, looking actually like you're happy, not scrounging for your January 1st diet, they can come ask you what the fuck you're doing. But a lot of you are going to be having to do it my way, whether you do it with the podcast or you do it with me, and you're going to see all this shit. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a spike in diet ads. This is why I'm not even opening in January, because I'm so over it. I am not going to go head to head with Jenny Craig and Oprah and all them who are going to be like promising their miracle shit. It's a no. There is going to be a wave of people when January comes. If you think January 1 diets are big in the past, wait until everybody thinks that 2021 is the do-over year. And I want you to not be that person. I want you to be well on your way so that you do not have to drop into the fucking cycle one more time. It is bull fucking shit. I don't know how much I could say the F word or shit today, but if you are a water drinker, you can thank me because you are hydrated for the day. All right. Your question didn't get answered. Ask it in Facebook. We will get over there and we will answer your questions for you. I hope you enjoyed today. I felt like I covered a butt ton of ground with you guys. We will get these links. We will get everything going over there. The replay page will get uploaded today. And you guys, y'all have a good one. I will see you tomorrow for weigh-in, and I'll be in the group all afternoon. Well, actually, I'll be in the group later today. I'm going to be working on your stuff for tomorrow and Saturday. So since I kind of came up with new ideas to teach you guys, I got to throw out the old and insert the new. All right, y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.